Good day, Chennai. This is Metro Mornings. It's Live and Let Live Wednesdays on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. We're talking about punishments, how punishing your child can have a lot of repercussions on the child later on in life. So punishing today, we're not just talking about beating children. We're also talking about the silent treatment, about abuse of any kind. How exactly do you make sure that it is a punishment-free parenting that we're looking at going forward? This show is in association with Parenting Matters. If you want to follow them, Parenting Matters on Facebook, facebook.com/parentingmattersindia. All right, so that's how you follow them. But we have Nanali and we also have Neelu. Of course, if you have any questions after the show, you can always write to them. And I'm sure they will do their best in reaching out to you. They do a lot of workshops for corporates and also in schools. But we have Neelu right now, corporate trainer, theater artist, and a parent of a 10.5-year-old. Thanks, Neelu, for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. So, Neelu, tell us, you were telling us about how punishment, not in the real sense of what it is, but the purpose of punishment, which is to correct a child, can be done in an innovative, different, lighter context, and how that can make the whole process a little lighter on the child. Tell us about that.
Absolutely, because I'm a person who enjoys a lot of humor, and I try to impart that to my son as well.
All right.
So there are innumerable occasions when he does something wrong, where I pass it off light, make him laugh about it, but yet at the same time try to get him to understand what is wrong in that without at any point having to raise my voice.
So, give us an example.
Well,
that happened recently.
Like, many a time he tends to talk a little beyond his years.
He's 10 and a half.
He's 10 and a half.
He's the only child.
Going on 16, he's the only child. And he'll suddenly come up with a conversation or something that he shouldn't be saying at his age. Mm-hmm. That's because being a single child, he's heard a lot of adult conversation. So at those times, I'll probably turn around and tell my wife that, okay, sweetie, it's time we started looking at college admission for the group. He's beginning to sound like he's much older than 10. I think he needs to go through all this.
I think lots of children today, they grow way beyond their years.
Yes.
A lot of them, thanks to technology, thanks to...
Exactly.
Just every generation being a little smarter than the previous generation. This happens.
Exactly.
Ends up happening.
Exactly. So the thing is, at the end of it, he realizes that maybe he's crossed a little limit. But it's done in jest, it's done in fun. But he has gotten to understand what I am telling him. So it is not absolutely necessary to indulge in any punishment of any format. Mm-hmm. It depends on the degree of the transgression of any kind. Something as simple as this can be handled very easily.
Okay. What about times when you don't really have to punish him, but you can indulge him in a conversation? Like, what if he had questions about the birds and the bees at 10 and a half? I'm sure that sometimes happened, right? That happens.
Definitely. Definitely.
Questions and it happened you don't want to answer, but they come out to you. Do you punish the child by being humorous about it? Or do you talk to the child? What do you do?
Let me tell you what I've done with him on a couple of occasions when he's come out with questions which could be embarrassing, could be difficult to answer. Not that I tell him that you're too young to understand. Yes, sometimes I have told him that. But it's also followed up with telling him that, son, even if I do try to explain it to you, there are things you do not know about life as yet, which you will learn as you go along, which will help you understand what I can't explain to you now. So be a little patient. As the years go by, you yourself will understand what it is. Without getting upset with him, without turning around and saying, who told you about this? Where did you learn this from? None of that.
I saw this video recently of a little child using the four-letter word. And just heard the parents use it sometime in a conversation. And when the parent gets angry, the child goes at it with even more vigor.
Yeah.
So the word comes out even more. So if you're going to react in a negative connotation to something that you don't want the child to say or to talk about, then it's only going to go even worse off, right?
Also the explanation you need to give to the child. Many a time my son has come back home saying that so-and-so used the F word, so-and-so showed me the middle finger, and things like that. In class, in school, younger than him, his first question is the boy or girl older than you or younger than you? Sometimes it's younger. So what we have gotten him to understand is, son, we cannot protect you from you listening to these words. They're going to be flying around. There is television. There are kids who are learning everything. There are words like these flying around with adults who are not bothered that there are children around when they are using them.
Right.
So what we have told them is, you must understand that these are words that decent people do not use. So you may listen to it, try and not use it yourself.
Okay, so that's how you deal with that.
That's how we have dealt with our son with this.
So either bring in humor or bring in a conversation or say, hey, you know what, it's all right, we can't talk about this now. You can always talk to me about it, and when I can have that conversation with you, I will. That's something that you will do. Cool. I'm going back to Mrinalini. Mrinalini, we're kind of wrapping up the show now. Tell us, we have spoken about punishment. I know punishment-free parenting is what we are definitely trying to encourage. Punishment of any kind. At least the hardcore ones where you're hitting somebody, where you're making a child feel bad, where you're comparing the child with somebody else, where you're sending the child to a room and asking the child to ponder over what he or she has done. These are things that definitely need not be done, should not be done, is what we're saying. So what do parents do? Because in the heat of the moment, while it happens, how exactly do you deal with it? Is some, you know, like a couple of things, pointers that you possibly want to leave them with today.
Okay, what I really liked what Neelu said was sustaining this connection and trust with the child, so the child doesn't feel abandoned. So whatever question or any narrative that the child came with, the parent had this very, you know, an acceptable note to it. So that is really the foundation to building this trust with the child. And the other thing is that, you know, parents tend to punish, so all these punishments really make the child fearful. So what we need to remember is that when children come and tell us, you know what, I came first in class, when things are glorious, we're all happy. And punishments happen when things go wrong, right? So it's good for us to think that this is kind of it's a foundation for us to know that when things go, and they might go wrong at some point in their life later, if it does, that they will not come back and tell us, because they're so conditioned to the punishments that we've been dishing out to them. Now, some of the things that we could do, Jane, is, like, you know, say for an example, there are two children who are playing, and then I would love my child to maybe share her toys when her friend comes over, and I find that she's not doing it. So it's very easy for me to say, you know, that's it, dear. I'm going to take away all your toys because you don't share them when your friends come. So what's going to happen? She's going to share them with her friends when I'm around. But when I'm not around, she's not going to do it. It's so much easier for me to say, you know, sweetie, I was just wondering that your friend's feeling kind of sad that she has nothing to play with. So what am I doing here? I'm involving another person's feeling into her life. And that makes her understand and empathize what it feels to be like a child who doesn't have something to play with. So they, or else even giving her a choice that would you like to finish playing with this and giving it to her after 5 minutes. So there are a lot of ways of dealing with the same situation instead of threatening her. And, you know, one of the important things to keep in mind is that, yes, nobody is a perfect parent, and it's a very, very silly and idealistic bar to have for any parent. But if, and I will get angry, there will be times that I'll get angry, but can I get angry without insulting her or insulting any child? And I think that's fair enough. And then going back and revisiting the situation and saying, you know, Mama was upset at that point of time, and this is what happened, and I'm wondering what you're feeling about it. So the two thoughts that I would like to leave our listeners with, one is that, would we like to, you know, continue punishing children and make them do right because of the fear of the punishment, or make them do right just because it's simply right? And at the time that, you know, we're kind of tottering and wondering that, you know, is this punishment okay or am I punishing? Just to think that if this particular thing is done to me, will I be okay with it? Would I be okay if my husband said that, that's it, this is the last time you're going to go out? Or would I be okay if he said, go into that room and don't come out? Or I'm going to take away your phone. You know, I'm taking away your privilege. So if I think that that's something I'm okay with, if it's done to me, then it's okay for me to do it to my child.
All right. So it's basically respecting their privacy just as much as you respect yours. And my final thoughts on these are, you know, when it comes to punishing, I think in today's generation, if at all it's happening, and I see it happen whenever a parent does not really have the time to spend with the child as well. You know, they're so busy with their workload. So either it's dumping them with a lot of presents or punishing them badly. So there's no interim way of really sitting with the child, spending time with the child, conversing with the child, and understanding where the child is coming from. So I think the time that a parent needs to spend, Neelu, wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. There's just one more thing I would like to add to that, which is, in spending that time understanding your child mm-hmm. and recognizing signs.
Right.
Recognizing what, where they come from. Like okay. many a time, I've seen my son doing preemptive strikes, which are, he has done something wrong in school, has gotten into trouble somewhere, and then comes back and says, this happened, my teacher scolded me today, I didn't do anything wrong. Okay. Your first thought is, okay, fine, don't feel bad. She scolded you. And then you try to figure out, okay, did you really do something wrong? And then figure out where he has gone wrong and let him understand that maybe this is what you're doing wrong. And so basically understanding from the outset that he has done something wrong, okay? But don't castigate him right at the outset. Let him find out what exactly he has done wrong and why he's coming and tell you somebody else has already done wrong to me. I'm upset by that. So for us, it is about trying to understand our son and figure out the way he is thinking. And once you've got a certain sense of that, you can deal with him accordingly.
Absolutely.
You can help him accordingly.
It is time, it's understanding, it is communication. It's a lot of things that come together. And I think the result of all of that is a punishment-free parenting that we are looking at. I know it's idealistic at this point in time to think of it that way, but if we all thought a little bit, gave that time and energy towards parenting, it would be a much better world, right? Thank you so much for joining us. That's Parenting Matters in the studio along with us on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. More coming up on the other side. If you have any thoughts on the show, leave it on our Chennai Live page, facebook.com/ChennaiLive104.8. Stay tuned and stay happy. Good day, Chennai. This is Metro Mornings. You're with me, Jane, on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. It's Live and Let Live Wednesdays. In the show, we usually have two guests on the show, and today we're not taking callers. You know, our phone lines are down, but you can always WhatsApp me on 9884195078. That is 9884195078. In this show, we're talking about punishment, and Kunjanera Munadi, we had both our panelists say that spare the rod, spoil the child was a phrase from the past. In today's day and age, setting those limits, talking to your child and understanding what is it that they want, whether it's a 10-year-old that needs to brush his or her teeth, or whether it's an 18-year-old who needs to go out there, socialize, mingle, become a young adult, take decisions like what to wear, who to go out with. These are things that you can start conversing with your child about, because on the conversations when you start, that's exactly when you can even put a brake on it, or you can, you know, take it forward or draw backwards. So unless you have those conversations, it's only going to be punishing the child, and the child is not going to tell you, and you will be excluded from the whole parenting circle. Well, on the show today, what we're going to focus on with Mrinalini is, you know, there are various kinds of punishment, right? And we see this not only between parent and child. I've seen this between, mostly between two people in a relationship, whether married or not. There is the silent treatment where you don't talk to each other for days, for weeks, and sometimes for years. You know, people who don't really talk to each other. Recently, I heard a good friend of mine say that her mom and dad don't talk to each other with the exception of breakfast saaptingla. That's round about it. Or have you had dinner? No questions like, how was your day? No conversations at all. So that's a silent treatment that the partner gets. And this kind of gets cascaded down to children as well. The parents don't really talk to their kids. And I think as an advanced society today, there are conversations that are possibly happening. But what happens in the regular middle class setup? Are we talking? And if when we don't talk, if something goes wayward, what is the kind of punishments? Where really are we here when it comes to all of this? Is what we're going to find out. Mrinalini, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jane.
Salina, you tell us about it.
So the thing is that basically children feel very abandoned when there is a silent treatment given to them, because, you know, suddenly the parent shuts himself or herself out and the child is left wondering, okay, so, you know, they love me to look after, maybe if the child has broken a glass, so they love me more, they love the glass more than me. See, a child's mind is very fragile, so the way they process something like that is, it's huge for them. So they feel very alienated when they cut off from their parents. Silent treatment is one. A very commonly used thing is a timeout. So say two siblings are fighting and one punches the other, then the person, you know, is said, now you go into that room and you think about what you've done. So, I mean, you know what I'd like to ask you is
that... What is a child going to really think about,
what is
right?
a child thinking about? Mm-hmm. Is he really thinking that, oh, I shouldn't have hit my brother? Or is he just scheming and, you know, wait till I get my hands on that little one, I'm going to really get back to him? Or even thinking that I think this is unfair? You know, so the learning that as parents, if we hope that our children should gain from mistakes they make, gets totally nullified because of the strategies we adopt in trying to make them learn. Which is punishing.
Parenting is not warfare. Relationships is not about, you know, setting a battleground ready. I know you have lots of fights. Siblings often fight. Like my brother and me, I think until we really grew up, we always, you know, had fist fights, and I'd usually steal all his food and eat it. So that's how it would be at home. I feel really bad now. And today I'll have to work out more to get all those calories off. But what you're trying to say is to not give that kind of a treatment, which is not just, you know, like hitting a child, that's not just punishment. So you're saying punishment goes way beyond. We need to think of all the ways that we can kind of put it in perspective, isn't it?
Absolutely. Even things like shaming, like say a child comes down with, you know, comes home with not such a good grade. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the best he could do, maybe.
Yeah.
So when we say something like, you know, that's it, you're so lazy and incompetent.
Shaming is one way. If you have two siblings and one does well, the other way of shaming is only talking about the child who gets good grades and saying, you know, this guy is the teacher's pet and this girl is not. Or this girl, the sister is so good with the grades. I've heard it umpteen number of times, and I think it happens in most houses. And, you know, making one child look better to the outside world makes the other child feel very insecure and insignificant, right?
I think children on their own would really get along very well, as in siblings, but yeah, sometimes with adult comparisons and look how well she's doing this, or see how much better this person has achieved.
Yeah.
That's really hurtful for a child.
Absolutely. Not just between siblings, also between, say, parents and children. We had a parent last week on the show who was talking about he is an IT guy, so is his wife, but his children are, I think, one of them is a, what was she? One is a psychologist, she's studying psychology, and the other is a writer, right? So, you know, any direct comparisons, especially when it comes to incomes, it's totally different when you are in a creative field of work. You know, you don't really start earning immediately. So these kind of comparisons, that's also a way of punishment, isn't it?
It's extremely punishing for the person who's hearing it, because you just don't feel worth it, and it affects your self-esteem. And Jane, by the end of the day, I don't think any parent really wakes up in the morning and says that, you know what, I'm going to get my child's self-esteem down.
Yeah.
I don't
think,
because parents that love their children.
But inevitably it ends up happening when you do all this.
Yes.
Your insecurities are also kind of mirrored.
Yes.
I wasn't able to achieve this, so should my child achieve it? You know, put it in every extra class that's possible. I couldn't be an IAS officer, so let my child do it. These kind of comparisons, these kind of forceful ways of thought are also wrong, isn't it?
They're extremely hurtful for the child.
Absolutely. And detrimental to the child's you know, growing up years as well. I'm going to bring in Neelu. Neelu, so tell us a little bit about your job. I'm just going to take it away from the conversation right now.
Okay, as a job, besides being with theater, I've been acting. I've been for many years. I've been a theater director in recent times. My main line of work is my voice. I do voiceover for ads and documentaries.
Okay.
And I'm a professional MC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things I do, which gives me a lot of opportunity to meet with a lot of different kinds of people,
mm-hmm.
and get to relate with a lot of different people.
That's wonderful. So your line of work really is about you being boisterous out there and lots of energy. I've seen you in the Chennai Super Kings matches, which unfortunately we will not have for 2 years.
But it's okay.
We'll be back. We'll be back. And
yes,
Chennai's always
bang.
Back with a bang. That's cool. But your son, how is he? He's 10 and a half. He's very young. Has he taken your traits yet? Is he doing something else? What's it like at home?
Well, let's put it this way. He's quite comfortable on stage, like mm-hmm. we are.
Both of your wife and you.
Yeah, it's been a natural follow for him since he's watched us on stage
mm-hmm.
for many years now. So he's very comfortable on stage. He likes performing. And yes, he's 10 and a half. He's already reaching the point where he's asking the questions, as in, you know, most times you shouldn't be doing this. Why? There's always his question. I didn't mean to do this. Why are you getting upset with me? These are questions that keep coming from him all the time. So when I was talking to Mrinalini earlier, I was telling her that the whole thing The important thing about punishing the children when they're doing anything wrong is making them understand why they shouldn't do it again. You were alluding to that earlier.
That's at least the purpose of why you punish someone.
So the child needs to understand why he or she should not be doing something and how it is not just detrimental maybe to somebody else, but it is for their own betterment. That's what they need to realize.
Yeah, because every time you punish the child for something, maybe after a point the child's going, you know, you're going to punish me anyway, so let me go ahead and do whatever I want.
Exactly.
So the whole purpose is lost of why you're doing it in the first place, right?
Which is why the degree of punishment also makes a difference. As in...
சின்ன வயசுல நிறைய தமிழ் ஹோம்ஸ்ல போய் பார்த்தீங்கன்னா சூடு வைப்பாங்க. That's something that they used to do. I have never, thankfully, been... get whipped. That's something that's actually happened at home. Many times, probably, as a child, I thought I deserved it. Maybe I still think I did deserve it. But today, talking about it, do you think that we're being too sensitive also? You know, a little, sometimes, don't you think that one little slap helps? Nowadays we are like saying you can't touch your child. If someone touches your child, it's over.
Right.
The teacher is out, and we make a big issue. But our parents, I know that's how they were brought up, and they turned out fine. So I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and find out.
Yes, true. See, I got walloped when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Every time I did something wrong, right? My brother got walloped. My sister got walloped. All three of us got walloped, but each one of us reacted to that walloping differently.
Okay.
I would rebel. Right? If the comparisons that we were talking about earlier, which I always consider to be odious, the comparison saying this one's doing so much better, look at you, why can't you be like him, or why can't you be like your sister,
and that's a common conversation every household, especially when you have more than one child.
Yeah, most families, right? So what happens there is, when my sister was told something like that, she would go out and she would study well. When I was told that, I would go the other way.
Yeah, you'd be like, I don't care, anyway, you're going to beat me up, so let me go and do whatever I want.
Exactly.
And
so
third one,
it becomes,
in
the
family?
He was the epitome of it all, where he was good at what he did, and everyone, we kind of worshipped the floor of ground he walked on.
Right.
Right? He was much older than me, so, right? But what I'm trying to say here is, every punishment that you give does not necessarily hold good for every child.
Absolutely.
Each one has to be approached differently. Like,
so why punish at all is a big question.
The punishment is, in my book, sometimes necessary for the child to understand that this is something you are doing wrong.
Right.
Like you were talking about the silent treatment, right? The silent treatment to my son, for him, is the worst punishment. That is given to him when he has done something really bad.
Okay, I'm going to bring in Rinalini here. Would you encourage that?
Actually, I just have something to say about, you know, what Neelu said about each one reacting differently when they're hit. Because one of the things I'd like to say is that each child is different. So either you can get submissive or become aggressive. And the second thing is that very often in our workshops, when we have people, parents say, you know what, I grew up and I was slapped around and, you know, I'm okay. And we are very happy for that. It's really reassuring. But the only thing that I think all of us need to remember is that it's eventually a risk that we take with our children.
You never know which way it could go.
We do not know which way it could go. And the other thing is, for the child, they think that, you know, that the person who loves and cares for me most does raise his hands on me. So sometimes when it can go the other way, as I said, it's a risk we take.
Mm-hmm.
Boys can grow up to think that it's perfectly acceptable to hit my wife.
Absolutely.
Girls
just
can grow up thinking that it's okay for me to be hit by my spouse because they love me. So, you know, if we remember that it's a risk we take, there is a certain informed decision before we raise.
So whatever you do, whether it's a silent treatment or whether it's hitting your child or whatever form of punishment it is, what you do at home is going to continue into that child's future.
We've conditioned them, Jane. Yes.
I read a statistic recently that said that 90% of women are beaten up at home at some point of time in their lives, in their adult lives. I'm not talking about them as little girls, so maybe it is not the father, but the one they get married to. And this is a statistic I read from contemporary
context. And a lot of women actually put up with it. So I'm going to go away from the child bit and go to how a lot of women take it silently. It's silent suffering as well. Just like that little child who suffered through it, the woman suffers through it. And in certain cases, maybe men suffer through it as well. I'm not being gender biased here, but in India, it mostly happens that way. The women take it for a long time, saying, I don't have a choice. Of course, young girls today, young adolescents who become brides, don't take it anymore. I know a lot of women who walked out of marriages, which are very good otherwise, but because there's extreme physical abuse or there's excessive verbal abuse. So these are things that you're starting in a child very early on, right? These are the seeds of what you're putting in that later grow into trees of abuse.
Yes,
in relationships later,
yes,
right?
Yes, it could be.
Yeah,
it could be.
Because
yes.
If your father or your mother uses language while he or she is shouting at you, even if they're not beating you, you're going to do the same thing when you're shouting at somebody you love tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, it's a
I've heard about this. I have this little text that's coming to me from a boy called Saran. Now, so Saran says his father is the CEO of a company and very respected is what he says. But he says that every day for the past 4 years, he's now an adult, but when he was a little younger, he says he used to beat him up. And beat the mom up. And this is something that, nobody outside knows. So this is the split personality of the parent. Now, that's not the right medical term, but I'm just saying somebody on the outside looks totally normal. And going back home, this is what happens. What happens to a family like this? I'm going to ask Neelu to kind of try and see if he can put things in perspective. Have you heard of cases like these?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Yes, I have.
There are people who know what's happening on the outside. It's just a facade. Like,
it is. But there are people, let me elaborate on that, who it is very important to them to be seen very well in society.
Distinguished.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they are respected by everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But the family is their pincushion. They come back home and bring all their angst, which they have against anyone, and show it on their family.
Okay.
Could be their wife, could be their children. There are many people like
that. And people who silently suffer through this.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are people who silently suffer, and a lot of them are fighting back too.
Yeah, some people are fighting.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening, Saran. So he says, what do I do? So, Mrinalini, what would you like to say? To a child like this,
well, Jane, I think it's really hard. I just wish that there is a helping hand somewhere out there for him to come out and seek, assistance and counseling and really work on this. I really wish I could help more.
Right. I'm going to continue what he's saying because I think he knows where he's... I think I know where he's coming from. He may not be able to say it to somebody outside because this person is very distinguished. So what does he do? His mother and him can't do anything. Probably the financial crux of the family has started behaving like this. So this is extreme punishment, of course, and we are talking about something completely out of the ordinary. Neelu, any thoughts?
Well,
what can a child do? A young adult?
Well, I would not put the onus on the child.
Okay.
If that be the case, I would put it on the other spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Because be it the mother, or if it's the mother who's the abusive one, the father then.
Right.
To see that the child gets a supportive environment, either by going out himself or herself and taking the child as well, to meet with somebody who can actually help. Counseling of some kind.
But isn't that the problem with the Indian society? We don't like to talk what's happening within the four walls of our families and houses. This is what is the reality. Punishments that are being meted out within homes are never spoken about outside at all until the child himself or herself moves out of the house and moves on. Or at a time, the child comes to a stage where he can hit the parent, the abusive parent, or give it back, and that's the... That cannot be the right way, right?
You take the example of this little boy who's texted you now, right? What is becoming the case that people are becoming aware, even the youngsters, so they are reaching out in different forms.
Okay.
Right?
Like he's texted us today.
Yes, so somebody from outside could help.
So if the mother is the silent one, is not able to talk about it, can he look for help? Because this looks like a young adult, so...
Why not?
That's possible?
He should.
Okay.
There are people he can reach out to, helplines who can... There are people who have the wherewithal, the expertise and the training to help people like that. and help them deal with it, and in fact, maybe even give them a solution to the entire situation.
Absolutely. Mrinalini?
Well, I just feel, you know, I feel sad for the child in him who's had to grow up so quickly and become the adult. And as Neelu says...
So unfortunately, I guess, with the population of 1.5 billion people, every person and every family is going to have its own secrets. And punishments are a big part of punishments, shaming, shouting, abusing. All of this is a big part of how, as an Indian society, we've evolved, at least in the last decade or so. So
yes, and I think the other parent also needs to remember that this little boy is a boy and she stands up and speaks up, because eventually, whether it's a father or a mother, you are the parent of the child. And it's not easy for me. I mean, maybe it sounds easy for me to sit in the studio and say this, but he needs more help. He needs a lot of help from not only people outside, but maybe from one person within the family to, you know, help him stand up against this abuse.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I also think it's a time for us to tell all the young people listening and people who want to be parents, not to be parents until they are really ready. Because if there are two people who are working all the time, who probably have all of the frustrations you were telling us, people doing very well in their careers and come back and they treat their families as dumps. If that's what you're going to do, don't bring a child into that environment.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, you need to wait, watch, and bring a child into positive.
And give your child a lot of time.
Yeah. Otherwise, don't have children till you're ready. Don't you agree, Mrinalini? Okay, that's a different difficult question to answer.
Yes,
but I think so. I think it's the way to go, because I see a lot of young children, very, very young ones, who are really suffering. I'm not saying parents are bad. I'm just saying on both sides of the story, if the unit is not prepared for a happy environment,
yes,
wait. Maybe you can even part ways as a couple if you're not getting along, but don't bring a child into the equation and punish it.
Yes.
If you're not ready for it yourself. We'll come back on the other side for more. Stay tuned and stay happy.